Let's talk about
carbohydrates really quick. Okay, so when you think of carbohydrates, we have to understand that they are primarily used as energy in the body. Meaning, if you perform exercise on a regular basis, those carbohydrates can go towards fueling that exercise. Okay? If you eat carbohydrates, or a lot of carbohydrates, and you don't really do anything active or that requires increased metabolism, you don't really get to take advantage of using those carbohydrates from an energy standpoint. So I wanted to explain that really quick and help you to understand why maybe someone trying to lose body fat might be better off to maybe not eat the recommended 45 to 65% of percent of daily calories from carbohydrates. Okay, so let's start with daily recommended calories for each macronutrient group. What is it? 45 to 65%, right?
Yep.
Carbohydrates. Then what's for fat? We're gonna get into that next chapter. But what is it? Good. 20 to 35%. And then protein.
10 to 35%.
Okay. So, total, so we're based on a 2,000 calorie diet. What is 45% of 2,000? Help me out here.
900.
Good, 900 calories to, what's 65%? No. 1,300 calories. Okay. So 900 to 1,300 calories, 20% of 2,000. Good, 400. And what's 35% of 200?
700.
700, good. And what's 10% of 2,000? 200. And what's 35% of 2,000? 700 again, okay. So, as of right now, when you look at what we have... obviously, clearly, the carbohydrates are recommended to in most for a total percent of daily calories, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. So now let's break these down into total grams recommended per day. 900, so how many calories per gram is a carbohydrate?
4. 225.
Good. And... so carbohydrates in grams recommended per day is in between 225 grams, which is 900 calories, and 1,300 calories divided by 4? 325. 325 grams of carbohydrates. Okay. Next we have fat, which is 400 calories. Well, how many calories per gram is fat?
Nine.
So 400 divided by 9 is what?
44.45.
So 45 grams of fat, okay, and 700 divided by 9 is? 78 grams of fat, okay, so 45 to 78 grams of fat, and then we have protein. How many calories per gram is protein?
4,
okay, so 4 divided by 200? 50 grams of protein, and 4 divided by 700?
175.
Good, okay. Alright, so we have total grams of carbohydrates at 225 per day to 325 per day. We have total grams of fat at 45 grams to 78 grams per day, recommended for a 2,000 calorie diet. And we have protein, total recommended grams per day is at 50 to 175 grams. Really quick, what is the function, if you look back to chapter 1, what is the function of protein. Page 12. Okay, what is the function of protein? Protein can go to regulate body processes. Okay, regulate body processes. And also to build body structure or contribute to body structure. And also it can go to energy. Okay. Fat is the exact same thing as protein. It can regulate body processes, build structure, and also go towards energy. What can carbohydrates only do?
Energy.
Carbohydrates are only for energy, okay? Well, this is where we run into a problem with these current dietary guidelines, okay? Like I mentioned before, since protein and fat regulate body processes and contribute to structure, it would seem important to have a sufficient amount of these because those are two pretty important things, right? To repair tissue, build tissue, and build hormones that affect tissues and help run the body more or less, right? From a less energetic standpoint and from a more structural, functional, real standpoint. Okay. And energy-wise, it kind of just depends on your activity level, really, how much energy you need per day, right? Okay? Because if the body at rest, complete rest, is almost functioning 100% from fat as a fuel source. Meaning, and this is based off the respiratory quotient, which we haven't really got into, which people measured activity levels based off of carbohydrate, and then how many carbohydrates you consume when you do like maximal activity, which is 100% of your energy comes from carbs when you're performing maximal effort activity. But when you're at rest, almost 100% of your fuel is being from fat. Me walking or standing up, walking around, and talking like this, I'm probably burning a few carbs because I'm moving and doing some cool like arm movements and riding and talking and kind of just, you know, DJ Eddie up here. But if you're at rest and especially sleeping, you're pretty much functioning 100% from fat, okay? So what if I told you, which this is true, that you can only store in your body 500 grams of carbs at any given point? The maximal, then this is on average for the human population. Okay, Shaq can probably store maybe 600, 700 grams because he's a tall dude. Big guy needs more carbs, maybe. Okay, mini-me might only need 200 grams of carb storage, okay, because he's a little bit smaller than Shaq. I would like to see a picture of them together. So, if you can only store 500 grams of carbs, what happens when you eat more than 500 grams of carbs, or what happens when your body has more than 500 grams of carbs to deal with?
Store.
You need to store those extra carbohydrates, but since you can only store that 500 grams of glycogen, or a storage form of carbohydrate in the body, what happens when you get above 500 grams of carbohydrates that you need to figure out what to do with? Converts into adipose tissue by basically turning the glucose molecule into a glycerol and attaching three fatty acids. Okay, which is a triglyceride, which we're going to get into in the fat chapter right next. Okay, so anything above 500 grams. Anything above 500 grams of carbohydrates is going to probably be stored, right? So let's do a quick little equation. Okay. So I'm eating the recommended 65% of daily calories from carbohydrates. Okay. 325 grams. Okay. Since throughout the day, I didn't really do much activity, my or so yeah, like I mentioned before, when you do activities like active things, walking, going upstairs, not being sedentary, you burn carbohydrates. Okay? Because carbohydrates are specifically used for energy and the best the best macronutrient for performance-based activity and energy is going to be carbohydrates. But let's say that I don't really do much throughout the day. Okay. Let's say I wake up, I jump in the shower, I get all ready for work, I come to work, sit down for 8 hours, maybe go to lunch and walk to my car, get in my car, go back, maybe walk up one flight of stairs, sit down for the next 4 hours. Then I get off work, I go home, I eat some food, I watch some TV, and I go to bed. Very little activity, right? So the activities of daily living are going to be maybe a total of 30 minutes of movement throughout the day. Not very much. Okay, maybe only an hour of movement, something simple. So since at rest, I'm not really using carbohydrates, we can safely say that I'm not really burning carbohydrates when I'm at rest. If I'm at rest for most of the day, I'm probably not burning too many carbohydrates throughout the day. So let's say I start off my morning with 500 grams of carbohydrates, because the body's job when you sleep is to fully replenish your glycogen stores. That is your body's job. If you do not fully replenish your glycogen stores when you sleep, you have a worse chance for survival if something was to happen. So the evolutionary adaptation that we've learned is that when we sleep and we recover, our body needs to replenish all of our glycogen stores and top them off to 500 grams. Okay, let's just say we're the normal average person with 500 grams of stores needed. Everybody still following along? Got that? Okay. So my body's job is to make sure that I have 500 grams of carbohydrates the next morning for ready for a full day. Okay. So I get up and I do my normal daily activities and it's pretty mellow. I don't really do any activity. I don't exercise. Don't add any exercise. Just kind of chill, right? Chill day. I'm probably only going to burn about 100 grams of carbohydrates throughout a normal day because I'm not really doing much activity. So the activities of daily living, just walking up the stairs, carrying groceries inside, maybe walking a little bit to my car and back, not doing anything too active. Let's just say I'm an adult male, just normal guy, and I burn about 100 grams of carbohydrates per day. So, if I eat the recommended 325 grams of carbohydrates per day, but I've only burned 100 grams, that leaves me with an excess of 225 throughout the entire day. When, at night, my body goes to sleep, if I have only burned 100 calories or 100 grams of carbohydrates throughout the day, how many do I need to replenish? 100. But how many am I left over with? I have 400 in storage still. So now I need to add back 100, which I add back that 100 grams from the carbohydrates that I ate today, leaving me with 225 grams left over when I go to bed. Because that's what I ate. How many carbohydrates am I in excess of storing that day? So I go to bed that night. My body has 325 grams to deal with throughout the day. And that night, since I've only burned 100, how many carbohydrates do I need to replace in my total glycogen stores? 100. Good. Yeah. Then I still have how many left over? 225 left to do something with. And, well, let's see. My body's job is to make sure that I replenish all the glycogen stores. Well, I replenish all the glycogen stores, but I still have 225 grams kind of left over. What am I going to do? You have to somehow deal with this extra 225 grams in some way.
Okay, so this 225 grams needs to be stored. How do we store extra carbohydrates that are above our total glycogen storage? As triglycerides. Glycerides, which is fat. A triglyceride is made out of a glycerol backbone, which is a glucose molecule slightly modified to hold on to three, or tri, fatty acids. Okay? So a fat, actually turns out, is half carbohydrate. Fun, right? Exactly. So when we talk about eating a zero carbohydrate diet, do we still get carbs into the body? Yeah, via the form of triglycerides. Because what happens if we need extra carbohydrates, if we need to do something active? Well, our body can turn this this glycerol backbone of the fat into a glucose molecule, which is called fat metabolism. Okay, so you can imagine if I get an extra 225 grams of carbohydrates per day, and I'm eating the recommended fat and protein throughout the day, there's still an excess storage of carbohydrates needed. Okay, can I turn carbohydrates into protein? No. Okay. So I can't turn carbohydrates into protein, so I can't build structures with carbohydrates. But I can turn carbohydrates into fat. Because the glycerol backbone is just a different form of, a slightly modified form of glucose. So this 225 grams goes to fat storage. Guess how many calories are in 225 grams? So the total amount of calories in 225 grams of,
which is 45%.
But that's in terms of carbohydrate.
Carbohydrate, yes. So there's an extra 900 calories of carbohydrates that I really can't do anything with except turn into fat. Okay, and yes, some of this fat might be used to go towards regulating body processes and structures. But regardless, maybe let's just say 100 grams of those actually turn into fat, and that fat gets used to regulate body process and structure. I'm still at 125 grams surplus.
That's assuming you didn't consume any fat.
Yeah, that's assuming I didn't consume enough fat to already regulate all my body processes, which according to the government, I did with my 20 to 35%. So we're starting to see a reason why maybe these numbers, this 900 calories to 1300 calories, or this 45 to 65% of carbohydrates per day, might not be the best call. Because based off of the function of carbohydrates, all they can do is provide energy. Maybe when converted, they could do a little bit to provide structure and regulate body processes via fat, but for the most part, they're going to turn into extra energy.
If your body were to receive that excess amount of carbohydrates, wouldn't it first use the fat that doesn't need to be converted?
Correct, absolutely, yeah, because your body doesn't like converting things. It likes the key, hey, if you give me fat, I'm going to use it as what it needs to be used. I'm not going to purposefully, unless you're eating too low of fat, am I going to purposefully turn carbohydrates into fat to then be used?
Okay.
Because guess what? That takes energy. Your body's very efficient and doesn't want to. This is why your body doesn't like to turn protein into usable carbohydrate.
So unless you have like a no-fat diet.
Yeah, if you're on a very low-fat diet, your body will turn carbohydrate or the glucose molecule into a triglyceride by adding three fatty acids. But the thing is, if you're lacking in fatty acids due to here, it's going to be tough to make that fat too. So basically, you're just left over with a ton of excess energy, and that energy needs to be stored. And if your glycogen stores are already full for the day, what happens? It gets stored as fat. Okay, so this is your typical American right here. Why is there an obesity problem? Because you have excess energy and excess from excess carbohydrates that aren't able to be stored. And once again, yes, if they ate pure glucose, you might avoid this because pure glucose is not very... Your body likes to use that and will use that. And it's more when we're talking about like sugars, potent sort of stuff. But you can get an idea. This is more of an idea. What's up?
So excess, shouldn't excess be excess either way? It doesn't, regardless of whether...
The way that your body deals with pure glucose is a little bit different than it does fructose. We'll say.
So excess 225 grams of glucose is better than excess 225 grams.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Sucrose,
yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So we should eat candy bars.
If you eat candy bars, you'll have excess fructose, which excess fructose almost is guaranteed to turn into fat. Yes. Okay. So now we'll deal with someone that's an active person. Let's go with DJ Ricky Bobby over here. Okay. DJ Ricky Bobby wakes up, comes to school, does normal activities, comes to school, does biceps all day long, and then and then does CrossFit at night, and even probably works out an hour on the side of that just because he loves being in the gym and likes being active. Okay, so you got DJ Bobby Ricky over here, and he eats, we'll say, 325 grams of carbohydrates, and throughout the day in his CrossFit workout, how many calories do you think you're burning in CrossFit? You try it? Did you test it all? Like 500 per hour, probably? Would that be safe?
I'd say about, yeah, maybe 4 to 5, yeah.
So Ricky has his activities of daily living. He burns 100 grams just because normal. Then let's say he burns from one workout, 1 hour's worth of CrossFit, he burns 125 grams of carbs because that's about 500 calories. Okay? And then he does all extra activity because he just likes being active and does some biceps at the gym and foam rolls and just does things that are slightly more elevated in energy consumption and burns that extra 100 grams per day. He's left with a total caloric surplus of what? 0 grams, because 100 grams of activities of daily living, 125 gram CrossFit workout, which pretty much will burn purely carbohydrates because it's very glycolytic demanding. Glycolytic energy system burns pure carbs. Then you have the extra 100 grams coming from elsewhere, just extra places, because he's, helping that old lady carry groceries up the stairs and rescuing women out of tall burning buildings and just all that extra stuff. He's going to burn that extra 100, leaving him in a caloric surplus of 0. So he goes to bed that night, 325 grams down, meaning he has 175 total grams left. He needs to refill 325 grams. He does that and ends up with a caloric surplus of 0 kcals. Did he store fat that night? No. So when you think of performance, why is it okay to eat more carbs?
Because you need to replenish your glycogen.
Because you need to replenish your glycogen stores because you're being active. So some bodybuilder comes to me and says, hey, I want to gain muscle. I want to, gain muscle. I guess that's all bodybuilders want to do. And I tell him, okay, do this workout. Eat this amount of carbs. All of those recommendations are assuming that he's going to be pretty active, right? So I'm giving the guy that works out a lot more carbs. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because carbs can be used for pure energy, which will benefit his workouts and his muscle recovery due to protein sparing, because carbohydrates are not, are used for energy as opposed to protein being used for energy, which leaves more protein available for muscle protein synthesis. Most of America is in this boat. Why? Because the initial recommendations of carbohydrates are a little are pretty dang high. And then not only do are okay, so let's say you go out as an American and you eat only perfect foods from nature. This model applies less because it's pure usable food. When you get a lot of the processing and the extra sugars and stuff that might not be as usable, you're going to increase inflammation and have extra glycogen storage or extra carbohydrate storage, leading to more fat storage. And then it's also a hormonal gain too. Okay, if you have cortisol or elevated cortisol and decreased testosterone, increase or having testosterone helps you to burn fat and build muscle. Having increased cortisol causes you to store fat and break down muscle, releasing proteins into the blood. And when proteins are in the blood, they can be converted into glucose and be stored as fat. So it's not just a simple caloric balance gain. This is another example of how you can kind of look at the carbohydrate balance based off of activity levels. But somebody comes to me and they say, I don't work out. I'm not active at all. How should I eat? I can show them this equation to show them that, well, carbohydrate-wise, you need to be pretty dang low because you aren't really doing anything. Now let's look at the person eating a very low carbohydrate diet. Somebody eating a very low carbohydrate diet, how many carbohydrates is recommended by me for some generic body fat loss? Or by
100.
About 100 grams of carbs a day is good for someone trying to lose some body fat. And let me explain why. So now somebody's intaking, well, 100 grams times 4 is 400 calories. 400 calories is going to be about 20% of 2,000. So this one now goes to 20% recommended by me. Okay, 20% of carbohydrates for calories per day. Probably moving this up to about 50% from fat and 30% from protein, if you wanted some standards that I recommend for body fat loss. Okay, 20% carbs, 50% fat, 30% protein in calories or in percentage of your total calories. Okay. Now we have 100 grams of carbohydrates, and you have your normal standard daily American only burning 100 grams of carbohydrates per day, leading to a surplus of zero, leading to less body fat stored at night, or hopefully zero. Okay, but then this is the standard American that doesn't do any activity. If somebody came to me and said, I don't do anything, I play video games, I watch TV, I go to work, I do nothing, I'm probably not going to put them on 100, am I?
Less.
Maybe 50 to 75, to tell the truth. Okay, but hopefully somebody does this sort of equation right here, and they add that maybe slight hour of exercise, like one of my clients training with me. Okay, hopefully that client training with me can burn an extra 100 per day. Now how many carbohydrates am I left over for the day? Negative 100. Wait, but if I'm negative 100, how is my body going to replenish those glycogen stores?
It does.
Well, if it doesn't, then I might die when I wake up and have to do explosive energy to go run from that bear that's trying to eat me in nature.
From the fat.
From the fat. Why? How can we get it from fat? How do we get glycogen from fat?
It's already...
You metabolize the fat and use the glycerol backbone of the triglyceride, turning it into glucose and then glycogen. So when you eat low carb, when are you burning the most fat?
Sleep.
When you sleep. Because, oh shit, your body says, you didn't get any carbohydrates today. Oh shit, your body says, if I don't get him his carbohydrate storage, or his glycogen storage full, back to 500, the next day, he will have a less, he will have a lower chance for survival. Because if he needs to run for a long distance away from something, he will be less likely to be able to maintain that, pace because of a lower carbohydrate total. That makes sense? Sorry, it broken up a little bit. So your body must replenish to 500 grams. If you didn't eat enough carbohydrates throughout the day, it still must get you back to 500 grams. But luckily for us, a fat carries a sugar in the form of glycerol, the backbone for the triglyceride. Fat loss 101 on a low-carb diet, guess what? Let's say you go zero carb or 20 grams of carbs or less. Ketogenic. Not only is your body using fat as fuel to help you move throughout the day, which you can still perform, right? Maybe not at your best, but you can still perform. Miguel was doing high-intensity circuit training pure supersets, like a circuit, full-on circuit, for about 20 minutes of intense exercise every single day on zero carbs.
Was he still 4 weeks worth.
And was he still able to perform? Yes. Could he have potentially done a little better if he ate carbs? Yeah, probably. And probably could have recovered a little faster and pushed a little harder, that sort of thing. But Miguel wasn't concerned about performing his best on some basic circuit training. He was concerned with losing body fat. So when he's burning, you know, well, he's intaking, we'll just say, 0 grams of carbs per day. But he's burning somewhere around 300 to 400 grams of carbs per day because he's doing a ton of glycolytic or really high-intensity exercise and then his normal activities of daily living. How much body fat is, or how many carbohydrates is Miguel going to have to replenish that night? Well, about 300 to 400 grams. But oh shit, Miguel doesn't have 300 to 400 grams of carbohydrates because he didn't eat any. The body's like, what am I going to do? Oh.
When you don't eat anything.
Hold on, I'm gonna take it from fat. And then when I take it from fat, when I take it from fat, I don't need to get it from dietary fat because most of my dietary fat is going to go towards building body structure and regulating body processes. And yeah, some of that's going to go to energy. But I'm probably going to take the stored excess fat that I have because I need to call upon that extra fat storage in order to survive. Your body is a carbohydrate storing machine. And when we look at nature, when were carbohydrates available in nature? What seasons?
Spring
and summer. Fall, what happens? Most things die. What happens in winter? Everything's dead. And you have snow and there's nothing green growing at all typically. That's for like your mid-latitudes sort of seasons. But a lot of our ancestors lived in those mid-latitude seasons, like up in Europe and in maybe lower parts of Africa, that sort of thing, in which for 6 months out of the year, there almost was no carbohydrates. So what happens in the summer for bears? Do bears go eat processed food at Ralph's?
They bulk. Hibernation.
Yeah. Bears bulk. How do bears bulk?
By eating everything that's
eating. What are they eating though?
No, like veggies and shit, right?
Well, they're trying to find as many fruits, as many berries, as much honey as they possibly can. And guess what bears do all winter?
Hibernate.
They hibernate. Guess what they live off of all winter?
Their stored
fat that they got in the summertime. Do you think humans did the exact same thing? Did humans try to get as fat as fucking possible in the summertime to survive the winter?
Yeah.
Have beach days.
Otherwise, you die. If you go into winter with no fat storage, it's going to be tough to survive that winter because you're not going to have any excess storage. So is it a adaptation for survival to store fat?
Absolutely.
Meaning if you eat extra carbohydrates, is it a good thing that you store fat in nature?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Survival. Survival of the species. Look where we're at today. We don't store fat from carbohydrates, then we don't survive the winter. We don't survive the winter. Our species doesn't live on. So there's many, many sort of full circle sort of approach when it comes to carbohydrates. But remember, carbohydrates are very seasonal in this world. And as a human, we don't have the ability to fly to Costa Rica in the middle of the winter. or as it, our ancestors didn't have the ability to travel long distances to go find fruit. Okay, but I'm sure everybody's heard of travel south in the winter, right? Okay, for northern latitudes, or travel north in the winter for southern latitudes. Because guess what they're trying to do? They're trying to get those carbs as long as possible. Some or hunter-gatherers were known for going in the winter further south and going in the summer further north. So it's a whole ecological awesome equation that leads to us storing body fat very efficiently from foods that were available in the summertime, which were carbohydrates. Minds are blown. We're falling asleep.
No, it all makes sense.
Okay.
Sound logic.
So when you think of people just eating super, super heavy fruit diets, does it make sense that they might store a little bit more body fat?
It's like Samoans.
Yeah, okay. And in Samoa, they were big often because fruits were pretty much available year-round because it was a very tropical environment. Okay, the tropics in this world are known for having fruit almost year-round. People that lived in the tropics, obviously not the desert areas of the tropics, but the jungles. Like you guys see the recent Brazilian or Amazonian tribe that was found that hadn't made any contact with the outside world, and the guy found them in 1990 something. They lived on for thousands of years just in the Amazon rainforest. And then they see human or this white guy for the first time. They're like, oh my god. You gotta see this. It's really cool. Just Google Amazon tribe sees white man for the first time, and you just see this interaction of like otherworld. And the guy filmed the whole thing. He thought he was gonna get killed. He was like,
Did he have a gun?
I don't know. But he had been studying him from airplanes for like 10 years before he decided to make the trek in there. And they every time an airplane would fly by, they'd like praise this like god of this air sort of thing. But basically, he went there and he found out that they were eating pretty much 70% of their daily calories from fruit. But they were super active.
So their expenditure has to exceed that tenfold.
Exactly. Yeah. So they weren't fat by any means, but they didn't have like the normal typical like. Jacked sort of paleo. Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, because remember,
arms and
yeah, they were lean with less muscle tissue because they weren't required to go out into nature and hunt as much as other areas of the world might be because what they had fruit year round. It's like, oh, we'll just eat this fruit all the time. I don't need to do all this crazy activity to go try to go hunt large animals and carry them back and gain muscle. I need to just get some fruit.
Just type 1 muscle.
Yeah, and when you think of this, when you think of the equatorial sort of people, were they huge, tall people? When you think of Aztecs, most of Mexico is very Aztec, Inca sort of ancestry. Are they super tall and jacked?
Crazy little people.
Yeah, they're actually Peruvians, like Incans.
Small and jacked.
Incans, they're small and stocky. Yeah, Yeah, they're small and stocky. That's part of the reason is because they learn how to farm corn really early on. Like, Japanese people are small because they learn to farm rice really early on. But also part of the reason is because they weren't required to, like, be big hunters and fighters.
No gangs.
Because they didn't have to hunt very large game all the time. They could, but they had fruit almost year-round. Okay, so when we think of this whole equation on the board, we have to understand that it's great. It's an awesome thing that we get that we are so good at storing carbohydrates as fat because that ensured our survival through the tougher months of the year. If Iz, the singer, he does. If Iz and I are both starving, who's going to live longer?
Iz.
Is going to live longer.
Oh no, you're going to live longer because you're going to kill
that guy. Oh, I'm going to kill him and eat him. There we go.
Barbecue is.
All right, cannibalism, that's a whole new level in this class. So.
Cannibal. You can't tell me it's crossed your mind at least once in your life. Everyone's thought about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, Donner Pass, man.
There you go. Hey, for survival, you gotta do it. Do you hear about on the news? They just came out about a restaurant in Nigeria that had been serving human.
Yeah, I saw that.
For the last like 3 years.
It was like a
delicacy that they, but they like kind of went out and killed people and
they found a bunch of heads.
They found a head. Yeah. It's a pretty cool article. To tell the truth, a lot of our history as our ancestors probably ate each other. A lot of cannibalism and it's super taboo now to think of. But I mean, if you had to survive back then, if you didn't eat grandma. No, true. But I mean, it was very typical to get food in any way. Bugs, like, very anything you think of, you want to get food from. Because survival is about survival. It's not about what you eat to survive. It's about just surviving. Okay. Any questions on the carbohydrate sort of balance right here?
Basically, what you're saying is a ketogenic diet is ideal for fat loss.
Different people will react differently. If that makes sense.
But it is a...
I would say a whole foods diet where eating an anti-inflammatory diet from nature... is healthiest, the most nutrient dense, and will lead you to your optimal figure.
Can I ask one question, real question?
Yes.
Where did you get the 500?
It's in textbooks. I'm sure we could find it in this one somewhere too.
And is that number ever going to fluctuate per person?
Yes. For instance, like Shaq is probably 700.
Yeah.
I'm probably 550.
Is there a formula that we can calculate for ourselves? So
that's a good question.
Like, hey, I know that my body needs X amount
of
carbs.
That'd
be a good number to have for
that
T person.
You can. It's not BMR. It's not TDE. Because remember, so basically this is what I was told. When explaining carbohydrate loading for marathonists, people that do marathons, marathoners, they try to get their glycogen stores as full as possible, maybe even a little bit beyond the 500 mark. But they basically try to top them off because their performance is 100% necessary. If you don't top off your carbohydrate stores, you know what, hitting the wall at around mile 20,
you
run out of carbohydrates. How many calories does it take to run a marathon? About 2,000. 2,000 to 2,500. And if 2,000 of those calories are from carbohydrates, the wall you hit is zero carbohydrates left. But hopefully you're having like those juices as you run. That's why they have Gatorades on the side, so you're trying to replenish to continue.
I thought the fat was converting back into... I thought you were going to be burning fat at that point.
No, because it's increased activity. Your heart rates, I mean, if you're pushing this marathon, you're going to be burning a ton of carbs.
The fat only does that while you're resting.
Well, no, you can function from fat, absolutely, in a marathon. But more about, like, maybe 40 to 50% of your calories might be from fat in a marathon. But basically, what the point is that the reason why I know it's about 500 is because based off of marathon carbohydrate loading, you're supposed to be around 500. Just Google how many total glycogen stores per human. Or something. See if there's a formula for it. Please. Everybody.
I have a question. So
yes.
Sugar will then convert to fat.
Mm-hmm.
But then fat can convert to sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So back and forth.
Absolutely, yeah. And pretty easily, too. But only can fat go back to sugar in under the right conditions. And that's when your body needs carbohydrates that it doesn't have.
So you purposely then deplete yourself of the carbs, forcing your body to go to that energy level.
Forcing your body to function from fat more frequently. And to tell the truth, I did it for about 2 years of 100 grams or less, and my body was a fat-burning machine. I would function from fat almost all day long. But when I did activity, I'd switch to carbs. I could just tell.
The body will go into fat to convert that to energy before it knows not to go to protein. It knows not to go to your muscle.
Well, here's the thing. In a low-calorie or low-carbohydrate, low-fat diet,
then
you have nothing.
No choice.
Or just a low-calorie diet. In a low-calorie diet, your body thinks it's starving. And the government recommends, hey, low-calorie diet, that's best for weight loss. But in all reality, you aren't getting enough of this to sustain these two. You aren't getting enough protein or carbs to sustain your normal body. So it has to pull protein from muscles. That's why, like I said, when I did a low-calorie diet, I lost muscle.
Total
glycogen storage in humans.
It says a well-nourished adult can store approximately 500 grams or 2,000 calories of carbs. Of this, approximately 400 grams are stored as muscle glycogen, 90 to 110 grams are liver glycogen, and 25 grams circulate in the blood as glucose.
Boom! So I had it backwards. As opposed to the liver storing 400 grams, the liver stores 100. Your muscle glycogen stores 400. That's how I had it wrong.
So what about when your body goes into ketosis?
Ketosis.
Where do you get that like sudden bulk of energy for exercises or something like that?
So remember, every night, regardless of if you're in ketosis, your body has to have that 500 grams of storage.
Yeah,
but your body has to take it from fat.
Yeah.
And that's
at
how
night. And what's up?
It's also why you're losing. It contributes to the body mass instead of the muscle mass you lost to the size, because you're storing so much of that glycogen in the skeletal muscle and not the liver. Because you just said that you store 400.
400 in muscle glycogen
and
100 in the liver, about, yeah.
So if you're depleting your glycogen stores.
Here's the thing. Yes, your muscles may appear smaller because they aren't as full because they have less storage of carbohydrate throughout the day. But at night, you should wake up with a full full glycogen storage in your muscles. But you won't wake up with like the fullness of the muscle, but you will have that glycogen storage back.
Yeah.
to accept the idea that okay, I'm going to be visibly smaller in my skeletal muscle because I'm taking away from that glycogen storage.
Some of that fullness,
yeah.
Correct, yeah. This is why when bodybuilders go to do a show, they deplete glycogen stores, burn all their fat, but then right before the show, guess what they do? Like a day or 12 hours before the show, they pile on carbohydrates. Like 500 grams, just try to fill up everything as much as possible. They get very vascular because their blood just like is like, whoa, reinvigorated with all of this blood glucose. It sends it to all their muscles. Their muscles actually literally puff up.
That's
crazy. And they look bigger for that day.
And they need that energy too, because that posing stuff,
yeah.
They'll burn their
yeah.
calories there too. Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah. Good. Any questions? Anything? We good? So that's my extra lecture on carbohydrates, just in the sense of, the way that I use this is, I actually never have to explain this mathematically to my clients, but I tell them,
Tag me.
He really got you.
Actually, I have a question.
Yes.
So if you eat like a fruit that contains glucose and fructose,
yeah,
right?
Sucrose, yeah.
Yeah, sucrose, yeah. What happens to the fructose side of the house?
What happens to the fructose side of the house?
Yeah, but glucose, you'll use it for energy, right?
Yeah, so remember, fructose will be converted into glucose to be used in any way, just like glucose would but in the liver.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. And remember, if you immediately go to exercise, like within 30 minutes of after eating that sugary food, most of that sugar is going to be in your blood still. And if it's in your blood and you're being active, guess where it puts all that sugar? To your muscles, because it's being used and it wants to be as efficient as possible in using those muscles, yes.
So when, if you're going to be experimenting, if all of us are going to be experimenting with how many carbs, from macronutrients, how many carbs, we're playing around. How long does it take the body, if you're going to do an experiment, you start June 1st, how long do you give it before you realize, nope, I need to make another adjustment? How long do you give it?
Well, you need to track your body fat, skin fold measurements. And so me and Miguel, what did we do? We tracked on a weekly basis, and he kept losing for 4 straight weeks on a ketogenic diet, and I think it was actually 2 months, huh?
Yeah,
2 straight months, and every week got leaner and leaner and leaner and leaner and leaner, and then eventually, I don't know if it was because he started eating different foods or bad foods, or if he just literally stopped. I think he was being 100% good, and all of a sudden he just kind of plateaued.
Yeah, kind of plateaued.
That's
the body.
And it took him about 6 to 8 weeks to plateau with this type of eating style. When he plateaued, then I was like, "Well, we got to try something completely different." And then I gave him the go ahead to eat carbs, but as opposed to eating like perfect by nature carbs, he went through the roof on all this other stuff. And then from there, we just started to go up and up and up and up and up. But remember, guys, this is why we talk about responsible and safe carbs versus crap carbs. Because if a lot of carbs can come with inflammatory properties, but the good carbs are things that have zero inflammatory properties and are mostly glucose. Bananas, sweet potato, more like the squash, vegetables that are green leafy vegetables, stuff like that.
So the Atkins diet, if you use that term, there's a feel of it.
This is him.
This is him, I was going
to say. Yeah, yes, but with the Atkins diet, he says, eat whatever you want, just keep your carbohydrates under, I think, 20 or 50 a day. Which, that's you still get the inflammatory stuff, but it was successful. It's been around for 30 years.
It's hard in the right place, but...
Yeah, absolutely. It starts in the right place, but he included, like, hot dogs and salamis and processed meats and cheese even, saying that all that matters is this. And to tell the truth, most people got great results even eating kind of crappy food as long as they kept the carbs to a very, very minimum. Because this is the equation that was happening.
Could an athlete sustain himself on an Atkins?
What type of athlete?
Yeah.
Big time matters because, a shot putter, do they need a ton of carbohydrates?
No.
They actually barely need any.
So
their sport is just
some rec guy just playing full court basketball.
Full court basketball.
It's
going to be demanding.
That's
If he wants to perform well and not drag towards the middle or end of the game, he should probably have some carbohydrates before the workout or before the activity. And remember, guys, you could be ketogenic all the time, and then if you need to perform really well, throw in some quick, good, safe carbs, and you'll perform pretty damn well. Because your body's like, oh, hey, welcome back, my friend, Mr. Carbohydrate. I'm going to use you really, really well because we're going to be active right now. But if you're trying to lose body fat, you've performed that recreational sport on a low-carb-ish, your performance is going to suffer a little bit. I don't mean suffer, but it's going to drop a little bit, but you're going to be a very ketogenic and burning fat. And remember, guys, this isn't 100% scientifically absolutely what's going on, because remember, it's a hormonal gain, it's an inflammatory gain, but if you get this general principle, you can kind of help to explain it to people. So, I'm sure there's someone saying, like, oh, well, what about this, and what about this, and what about this, and you're going to encounter that all the time. The general thought is to lower the carbohydrate content. Because remember, if you lower carbohydrate content, what else do you also lower hormonally?
Insulin.
What is insulin known for?
Storage
hormone. And if you lower the storage hormone, are you likely to store a lot? No. So there's a lot of things that really align with this. I'm a product of learning and understanding all this. I was low carb for 2 straight years and got all the results I wanted, gained a little bit of muscle in that time, but I started to gain more muscle when I added back more carbs. But I was able to stay lean because my body efficiently knows how to burn fat very easily. But now I'm on somewhere around 400, 500 grams of carbs a day, and I'm lean and I'm strong, and I do a lot of activity, though. I exercise a lot, and that allows me to utilize most of the carbohydrates I eat towards performance. And staying lean... because I do activities. Any questions? Any last questions? Could you see how you could use this for your clients to kind of help them? Or could we understand why I might recommend a 100 gram of carbohydrate diet or less?
100%.
Because remember, a lot of this is why. Because people are going to ask you, well, why in the field about nutrition? And if somebody tells you to eat away and you ask them why and they can't explain it, I mean, their heart might be in the right place because they think it works, but you need to understand why something works if you're gonna explain it. And you have better done this to recommend it to your clients.
Maybe because if your activity is low, it's easier to burn 100 calories in a day.
If your activity is low, is it easier to burn calories?
No, 100 grams in a day, I say calories.
Oh, yes, yeah. If you don't do much activity, you better be eating less carbohydrates.
But I'm saying, would that be a good response to a why? If they say, well, why only 100 grams of carbs?
Yes, because you don't need 100 grams of carbs because you aren't an athlete.
Your
activity level is so low.
Correct.
That the amount of carbs that you're actually burning isn't very many. And to tell the truth, 100 is a very great place to start. And then if they can keep to it, I mean, the documentary I showed you, Fathead, you guys didn't really watch, but the guy ate fast food every day for a month, but kept his carbohydrate level to 100 and lost 15 pounds of fat and got healthier and better health parameters.
Healthier?
Yeah. Eating pure fast food, but only eating 100 grams of carbs.
Yeah, taking the bun off and stuff?
Yeah, took the bun off, didn't eat the hash brown, didn't have a Coke or soda, and he just had the meat, the cheese, and he ate exactly 2,000 calories a day, but only 100 grams of carbs, a little higher fat, low carb, and he got healthier and lost body fat, eating only McDonald's. Just like, it was basically his rebuttal to this,
supersize me,
yeah, in which the guy just ate as much as he possibly could and tried to get as fast as possible eating McDonald's, gained 25 pounds in a month.
How much money did
he was really
McDonald's
gave
McDonald's. The other guy to make the rebuttal?
Zero. Because remember, low carbohydrate is, the guy, you saw how shitty the quality was of that video.
Yeah.
Nobody gave him any money. Zero.
Yeah,
because nobody's going to support his theory of low carb when the government's like, well, you need to eat high carb. And guess what? In that video, he talks about the grain and how grain's bad for you and vegetable oils, how it's bad for you and all this other stuff too. Nobody would support that because it's going to be a detriment to...
It still demonizes...
Yeah, it demonizes the stuff that makes the government the most money as far as the food industry.
Yeah.
Carbohydrates are the bread and butter. Any other questions? The meat and potatoes.
The bread and butter. Well, that's where that term comes from.
Carbs. Any questions?